This show features adults using adult language. You have been warned.
E3 is like Easter. It's when you have to go to church. But the rest of it's kind of optional. This is Hammercast, episode 18, bringing you your weekly news and discussion about the world of games, smashing buttons, clicking mice, shuffling cards, and rolling dice. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. It's E3 week. My name is Dwayne Sibley, and I am joined by your hosts, Mr. Todd Chartier and Mr. Joe Hollis. How are we this week, guys, aside from exhausted?
Yeah, it's been a busy couple days doing all of our live tweeting. I think we said we're like 600 tweets in over through E3. So
675, so closer to 700.
So that's pretty good. Anyone who's not familiar with our live tweeting, we live tweet, and now you're familiar with it. So that's pretty much all I've been doing. I played a little Heroes of the Storm, but you know, we've been focusing so much on watching E3 content that my ass is sore for really unusual reasons.
Hammercast_live is where you can find our live blog, where we tweet about whatever active events there are in the world of gaming. We covered the Oculus Rift announcement event last week and all of the press conferences for E3 this week. Joe, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Besides watching E3, I've been wasting a lot of my time playing that stupid monster clicker game on Steam.
The monster clicker game for the Steam summer sale. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, since it is the Steam summer sale, how are your wallets doing? Because mine's sore and doesn't quite know what happened.
I've bought a lot. Well, not a lot. I bought that Offworld Trading Company game we were talking about today. Mm-hmm. I bought that monitor thingy that Ishar was talking about. I bought Starbound.
Which monitor thingy?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I can look in a minute. Shit, I bought something else too. I'll have to look it up.
Let's Ryan see.
Or Steve or
His
Joe.
Name's Joe. Yeah.
That was a tough day.
I can't remember what I bought.
Thank you for your purchase. Well, I do see a lot of thank you for your purchase things on my...
Yeah, I'm seeing an awful lot of those as well.
I don't actually tell you what you bought, though.
I've picked up quite a bit. TIS 100, Tales from the Borderlands, Starbound, because you and I were talking about it together that day. Let's see.
I do have Starbound. I got that a while ago.
Ooh, I got the Stick of Truth today. That's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I also picked up Grey Goo.
Right. Ooh. The RTS. So you picked up two RTSs.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I can kind of call that other one an RTS. Yep.
Yo, dog, I heard you like RTSs, so I put an RTS in your RTS so you can strategize while you strategize.
I got Tropico 5.
That's good.
Worth every penny.
It was like $12.
With all the DLC?
No.
Because there's like 4 or 5 DLCs for it that are all pretty decent. At least 3 of them that are worth, yeah, at least 3 more, 3 DLCs that are worth it.
Wow, there's a lot.
Yeah, some of it is just stupid shit, but some of it's good.
They're all 50% off right now. That's pretty cool.
So before we jump into E3, there's really only one bit of news that we wanted to make sure we covered. World of Warcraft is dropping the next major content patch for Warlords of Draenor, patch 6.2. It has a title, and I don't recall what it is, but it's patch 6.2. It's coming this coming Tuesday on the 23rd of June. So it's going to be adding new shipyards to the garrison, opening up the Tanan Jungle Zone, which has been locked since the expansion came out, and adding what's allegedly the final raid of the expansion, Hellfire Citadel. Do we have anything we want to mention about this? Or
I'm interested in the whole boat thing.
It's just another follower table.
Yeah, but boats. Boats are cool.
Yeah, you don't get to actually see the boats. It's just a little picture of it in a table.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's what I hear.
That makes me a little sad. You should go play in the PTR and tell us.
I tried to. I'd have to completely uninstall and reinstall it, and I just couldn't be bothered to. It would take like 10 minutes to install. So.
Oh, heaven for fucking bid.
I mean, it's like we have third world internet here.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Dude, we've got cans and string, okay? Fucking just suck it up. All right, so with that bit of WoW news out of the way, I guess, so good luck to all of the would-be admirals out there. That should be some fun.
I got Homeworld.
Oh, that's a great game. Great series.
I think I own that.
Yeah, you do.
I know you own the original. I don't know if you bought the remastered version. Because I remember seeing the box for the original on your shelf when you were in Massachusetts.
That's right. I did have the original box.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All gone now.
So we'll lead off on E3 the way E3 led off with the Nintendo World Championships. This was the first time they've held a World Championship competition since 1990, back when The Wizard was a brand new movie. This was a lot of fun, guys. What did you guys think?
So I'm not a big Nintendo fan, obviously. I was back, you know, a million years ago when I was young. But I thought it was kind of fun. You know, I mean, I'm not really into those games necessarily, but, you know, the competitors were kind of neat. The games they played were kind of cool. Some of the new stuff was kind of fun and evil. Those treehouse guys, someone needs to cut down their tree, but some of the stuff they did was not pleasant to those poor players. So I thought it was fun to watch.
Are you talking about the last round, the final round with the Super Mario Maker levels?
Yes.
Yeah, those weren't the treehouse guys, but yeah, I know what you mean. Those were brutal.
I thought they did make those.
They brought
out two of the creators, two of the developers who worked on Super Mario Maker, and they were the ones who made the bespoke competition levels for the tournament.
Oh. Okay.
And it was the treehouse guys who were interviewing them while the poor players were playing through them. But this was a four-round tournament. They did a nice mix of modern games and old-school classics. They played Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, Super Smash Brothers, and the upcoming Super Mario Maker, and the Metroid Prime Blast Ball game, which is coming out for 3DS soon. And every round, they would go ahead and eliminate a whole bunch of people, usually about half the remaining field, and those folks would go to what they termed the underground. And in the underground, they would compete to see which one of them would get the chance to survive to the next round. And in the underground, they played a whole bunch of throwback games. The original Legend of Zelda, they raced to the first dungeon to see who could defeat the first boss and obtain the first piece of the Triforce.
Which they did amazingly fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second one was Super Metroid, where they were placed at the final boss of the game, Mother Brain, and tasked with defeating her and making it through the gauntlet race to escape the planet before it exploded. And then the last one was Balloon Fight, which was truly ancient. I have not seen it since I was last in an arcade, but they were trying to see who would rack up the most points in a given amount of time in old school Balloon Fight. And it was just, it was great. I loved watching it. It was the most fun I had during all of E3. And that last thing was Super Mario Maker. I mean, there are videos of it out there. I'll find one and dig it up and put it in the show notes. But these levels that they made those poor players go through were sadistic.
Yes, they were.
The entertainment I got out of it, I recognized a couple of the people in the tournament, so I proceeded to root for them the entire time. One of them actually made it to the final two, but he's a Zelda speedrunner, and I've seen him try to speedrun Mario games before, and it didn't go so well, so that was just
not his... It just wasn't in his wheelhouse?
Yeah. That wasn't his game. And, you know, on the final level where they were fighting head-to-head, well, I don't want to really spoil anything if anybody wants to go back and watch it, but...
Well, it is a review of E3.
That's true. He didn't do so good. He didn't make it past the first part before the other guy was almost done, so I feel bad for him, but he made it to second place.
Well, the other guy was stupid fast, too. Yeah,
he still walked away with a signed new 3DS signed by Shigeru Miyamoto. And, you know, he will forever be known as the number two guy in the 2015 Nintendo World Championship. And that's not really anything to sneeze at.
Yeah. The other guy, which the announcer kept calling him Aaron, even though his name was Aaron.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That's interesting.
He didn't do so good. I think his team carried him, and then once he was in the elimination, well, he just fell apart.
Yeah. It was fun, though. I mean, it was a good time, and Nintendo did a good job with it. And who was the douchebag doing the announcing? What was his name again?
DJ Wheat.
Is that who that was?
Oh, no. That was... the guy in the tie. I don't remember the name of the guy in the tie. I know they had DJ Wheat and DJ Mini Wheat doing commentary for certain rounds, but the actual MC of the event, I do not recall his name.
He looked familiar from somewhere, like I had seen him.
The only thing that annoyed me was they weren't too good about labeling who was who during the gameplay.
Right.
They'd say it on occasion, but it just doesn't stick with you when they're like, on this team, blah, 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 this team, blah, 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 and yeah, the game continues.
It would have been nice for them to put or overlay the players' names on their various views in the game. They did that in the later rounds when there weren't as many of them to sort through, but that's exactly when you don't really need it that badly. You know, when it's 8-on-8 or 4-on-4, you need to, you know, disambiguate a little bit.
Yeah, they could have taken the time between just to for everybody's screen just to change the name on it or something.
Right.
Like put a little name at the bottom for who's on what station.
So you guys want to talk about publishers?
Sure.
Well, we had Bethesda on Sunday night, and I think they did exceptionally well. They showed off the new Doom game, which is scheduled for a spring 2016 release, with the really cool Snap map maker, which looks to drastically simplify the process of first person shooter map making. They showed off Battle Cry, which I'm still not sure is supposed to be a Team Fortress 2 style team shooter or a MOBA. The gameplay that they showed wasn't that telling. It looked neat.
Yeah.
But I don't know what kind of game I'm looking at. They showed off a cinematic teaser for Dishonored 2, which has convinced me to go back and play Dishonored 1. I'm sorry, Line Freeze. I know you gifted me that game. I will get to it. I promise. And speaking of which, the Dishonored Definitive Edition will be coming out for Xbox One and PS4. So another HD remake in fall of 2015. And of course, the crown jewel of what they had on offer this year, Fallout 4, taking place in Boston. It looks fantastic. Lets you play before the bombs dropped in addition to after the bombs dropped. And the collector's edition will feature a actual Pip-Boy that you can put your smartphone into and wear on your wrist like the world's worst smartwatch.
Wait, that's the Apple Watch. Same thing? Never mind.
Let's see. They also have crafting that wasn't really in the previous game, and laser muskets. Laser muskets are a must-have. And well, it has a release
more
date.
More than just crafting. Go on.
Well, it's like really deep crafting. It's like super deep crafting.
Ball deep crafting.
Yes, ball deep crafting, folks. This is not.
I don't know.
For the
I
faint
saw that
heart.
Baseball bat with the saws on it that you could craft.
Ball deep, Joe. Just remember that. Baseball bat with saws. Ball deep.
No.
Fallout 4 will be coming out on November 10th of this year, which is a lot earlier than I think many of us were anticipating. Yeah, I mean, I think we were all thinking Q1 2016.
Well, I was thinking I might go back home for Thanksgiving, but that's out now.
Because you have to buy the collector's edition of Fallout 4.
Well, it's only $100, so that wouldn't really affect anything. But the time is just going to be all used up.
Right.
That's like a 4-day weekend.
Why eat turkey when you can play Fallout?
I can make turkey here. I think we have turkey. I don't know. Maybe it's faux turkey.
You can have Amazon deliver you a turkey.
I think they'll deliver it cooked. That'd be nice.
Isn't it the only game coming out this year?
No.
Or one of the only. There's only a couple.
Dishonored remake or HD remake is coming out this year, and that's it. Nothing else really had a solid release date in 2015. Oh, and I almost forgot that Bethesda is apparently trying to go after Blizzard's knees by emulating Hearthstone. They announced their own CCG called Elder Scrolls Legends. Does this thing even have a fucking chance?
Does it even lift?
Yeah, no. Does it even lift? Dost thou even hoist?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, there's a lot of this collectible card game shit coming out, and I think that market's pretty well locked. Although, then again, you know, I probably would have said that about LOL and Dota, about MOBAs before Heroes of the Storm came out. But Heroes of the Storm turned out to be a pretty good game. But you never know. I mean, sometimes I guess underdogs come out of nowhere and impress people. But you know, people invest their money in these cards, in these games, and, you know, I don't see people investing in multiple of them.
Right.
So the market's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
I just find it hilarious how, you know, what was it, 2 years ago now, Blizzard came out and said, hey, we're making a card game. And that's when everybody expected them to talk about Heroes of the Storm. So everybody laughed at them. And then they started making bank off of it. And suddenly everybody else is going, hey, we're making a card game.
Yeah, I mean, they announced that at PAX, and yeah, people really laughed at them. Even myself, I was like, oh my God, that's the stupidest fucking thing ever. And then, I mean, I still don't really play, but I mean, I'm not going to argue that it's a success.
That was a fun presentation. I was in the room when they announced Hearthstone at PAX, and the everybody in the room seemed to be really excited about it. And then we were all surprised when we got outside and everybody was like, what the fuck was that?
Well, because it's something new, and that's, you know, kind of cool when you're in the moment. I mean, they kept that whole booth like covered completely.
Yeah, it was covered during in black
setup. All of the, like, even when they brought in the signage and everything, it was all covered. When they hoisted it in the air, it was covered. They didn't even let anybody see what that was about.
Well, that's pretty much it for Bethesda. It was a really good show, though.
I mean, no, I think, hold on. Back up. Let me talk about Fallout more, because Fallout had some really interesting things in there that we didn't mention.
Go on.
So first of all, full mod support, and full mod support across multiple platforms, meaning mods on the PC will work on the Xbox, which I think is fucking badass.
And as an update, the mod support is also coming to PS4. They officially announced after the show. It's just going to come after the Xbox. So the Xbox will have a timed exclusivity on mod support, and then it'll be available across both platforms.
Okay, so that's pretty badass. The other thing that they're making is, you know, Dwayne kind of mentioned the crafting. Well, how about that whole building your whole fucking town thing?
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that opens up so many new modes of things that they can do in that game. I mean, it pretty much lets you build your house or town or whatever, wall by wall, decorate it, chairs, you know, however you want. You know, be the gayest Fallout shelter in the world if you want, or make it My Little Pony themed. I don't give a shit.
You can put pixel art everywhere too. You can have light up everything, fire coming off the banners.
Yeah, even like switches and wires, like lights actually need a generator and a wire run to it. And you can have flamethrowers that work on switches and stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff going on there. I really want to see a mode that somebody just makes it like waves of zombies and you have to build a fortress to defend, you know, to like hide in and fight off the zombies. That would be
so
really
siege
cool,
warfare, basically
like a siege warfare, but the zombies are trying to attack and, you know, you and a group of friends have to
Does
maintain
it have to be zombies.
I don't give a flying fuck what it is.
Vampires. It glittering be, vampires.
Oh God.
Hey, you'll enjoy someone, shooting them.
Someone kick him off the call. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool. I thought that those two, you know, the mod support and the whole building your own town thing sounded really cool. You know, that building your old town thing kind of tickles my Minecraft nerve itch thing. And, you know, that's kind of cool. Call it a nipple. Tickles that Minecraft nipple.
Tickles your nipple.
Nipplecraft.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think those were really important points that we needed to mention about Fallout. And I'm excited probably more for those two than I am for the actual game. And I'm pretty excited for the actual game because I did play New Vegas and enjoyed that.
Yeah, you actually finished it.
I did. I finished it.
Which is amazing because you don't finish games.
True.
Can we move on to EA?
We can move on to EA now.
Cool. They teased this really unimportant little game at the very beginning and said it was coming out at holiday 2016. We don't need to talk about that, do we?
Fucking bastards. Mother fucking bastards.
So Mass Effect Andromeda was finally announced officially at E3 with a, what was it, a 2 minute long teaser, and then...
Was it that long? I mean, they didn't really show anything. You didn't even realize it was Mass Effect for the first 80% of it.
I knew.
The armor kind of gave it away.
Not till, that wasn't until the very end when he walked away. Other than before that, it was the old time Western type music that was showing landscapes.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it turns on to, we'll call it just a shepherd just to make it easier, in the armor, and they zoom in on the N7 as he walks away.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All we got.
I was extremely disappointed that they didn't at least say something about it. They just threw the trailer in at the very beginning, and then that was it. There was a high-def version that got posted on YouTube right afterwards, but doesn't show anything else. I mean, it's nice for them to show some cinematic, I guess, but there's no game footage there yet. We have a release date, I guess, holiday season 2016. Maybe, I don't know, when do you think the next time we're going to hear about it is? Probably next to E3, or do you think we might hear it at like PAX East?
Yeah, I don't think we'll hear too much more until PAX East next year. I mean, I think they'll leak little things, but, you know, maybe at East they'll start announcing stuff. I think their big presentation will probably be E3 again next year if this trend of big shit being announced at E3 keeps up like it did this year. And I think next year is just going to be a Mass Effect year. You know, that's all we're going to hear about from EA, which is, you know, which is okay.
I'm fine with that. I think Prime is too early for us to hear anything about.
Right. I was just looking it up to see when Gamescom was, and that's definitely too early as well, because Gamescom is before PAX Prime this year. So we're probably not going to hear about it until after the calendar year swap flips.
Yeah, and I don't think EA spends any money on South right now, so we probably won't hear anything out of PAX South.
Let's see, what else did we have from EA? They talked up the next Star Wars The Old Republic expansion, Knights of the Fallen Empire, which they say is going to bring back the old story-driven, chapter-based gameplay from the launch game, which could be interesting. I mean,
I haven't really seen any of the content since launch, to be honest with you. I played launch. I don't even know what level I got to, and then I haven't really touched it since then.
They've added a whole lot. A couple of new planets to go to. They've raised the level cap to 60, I think, now. You can have your own apartment on various planets. Like, you can have one on Coruscant or on Nar Shaddaa or what have you. And if you are in a sizable enough guild and your guild collects enough resources, you can have your own guild capital ship, which is basically a guild hall that can move around, which is neat.
Interesting. And what, I mean, like, you say a big enough guild. I mean, what kind of numbers are we talking about here?
You know, I don't have the specifics right in front of me. It's been a long time since I've logged into the Old Republic, but I will go find that out and we can follow up on that next episode. EA spent an awful lot of time going through their EA Sports catalog. NHL, NBA, PGA Tour, Madden, and FIFA. Some of it was interesting. I like sports games, but I don't like EA sports games. So they spent what seemed to me way too much time on this stuff. But I guess that's what pays the bills. This is what pays for the Mass Effects and everything else that we like to play. So we'll see. Star Wars maybe Battlefront. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was trying to elaborate on what you were, all the sports games, they probably get enough money out of those from releasing them every single year that they don't have to hassle the other games nearly as much. Maybe they probably still want deadlines and they want work out of them, but I'd rather have a game that comes out finished and polished than buggy and frustrating.
So you're basically saying that it's a low effort for the amount of profit they make?
Well, I think he's saying that by making all the money on the sports games, it takes the pressure off of the Inquisitions and the Mass Effects of the world.
Right. There doesn't need to be, they don't need to Ubisoft their better franchises. Because, I mean, Ubisoft's right. forcing out a new Assassin's Creed every year, and we've seen how the quality has dropped. Whereas EA can go ahead and say, we're going to do Dragon Age games every 3 to 4 years. We're going to do Mass Effect games every 3 to 4 years. And that gives them the flexibility to make really great games.
Right.
And speaking of really great games, as I was saying before, Star Wars Battlefront finally making a return. We saw an awful lot of gameplay this weekend between the Microsoft and Sony press conferences, as well as EA's own. What do you guys think of this? Is this something we're going to get? Because I think this is something we're going to get.
You know, I'm torn on it. So I'm interested. You know, I like first-person shooters and those types of games. But it felt really Battlefield to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're both using the Frostbite engine and it's just making my brain think they're similar. But they felt very common to each other. And Battlefield was a good game, but I'm just not sure that Battlefront felt like a new enough game to right. really feel like I'm playing a different game.
I mean, to me, it looked like a much better version of the first Battlefronts.
I don't think I ever played the first Battlefronts.
It was pretty much like that, except I don't think they had massive scenery that was moving around with you, like the
the AT-ATs and the
AT-ATs. All that stuff. Yeah. I was kind of disappointed with the trailer because I didn't see Jar Jar in there at all. I didn't see his race playable at all in the game. So, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed not to see that. It's definitely a missed opportunity on their part.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on this, because if there were playable Gungans, then I would be able to shoot them. And that is a missed opportunity. The new Mirror's Edge game was announced, or not announced, but at least they showed off some of it. I find it interesting that they're doing away with the gunplay altogether this time around. So it's going to be purely movement.
There were guns in it before?
Yeah, there was gunplay. It was designed in such a way that you didn't really need to use it often. I mean, there were always running ways out of every situation. But yes, there was gunplay in case you got cornered.
The big thing for me on the new Mirror's Edge is exactly what I said on our last show. The reason I didn't really like the first Mirror's Edge was because it wasn't open world and you couldn't explore as you wanted to, but they're going to make that into Mirror's Edge 2. So it sounds a lot more appealing to me now than the first one did.
Oh, and EA is aping Blizzard as well, making a collectible card game based on Star Wars called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. We'll hear about its inevitable shutdown in the coming years, I'm sure.
Nice.
Next up was Ubisoft. Once again, they had the amazing Aisha Tyler, also known as Lana from Archer, emceeing the proceedings, and she was amazing.
She was amazeballs.
I always like to think of Ubisoft's press conferences every year as this just crazy video game stream of consciousness madhouse. And they did not disappoint this year. They showed off the sequel to South Park, The Stick of Truth, called South Park, The Fractured But Whole.
I was blown away when I saw that trailer. I was not expecting it. They said that Stick of Truth was going to be the only video game they made, but as I think it was Trey said, they didn't really figure out how to make a game until they were done with the Stick of Truth. So they went back, they decided we're going to make another game. They threw in the whole Stick of Truth thing, making us think that it was that. And then they went, oh, we're playing the wrong game. And then they went and switched to their superhero costumes.
It was
an amazing trailer, so I would recommend looking that trailer up because it is definitely on my list of games to get.
Well, we'll go ahead and throw that into the show notes, and you can find our show notes this week at hammergaming.com/hammercast/18 for episode 18. Trials Fusion Awesome Level Max. The only thing I need to say about this, and the only thing any of us need to say about this, is cats riding fire-breathing unicorns.
Stop.
Full stop.
Right there. stop right there. Picture of the unicorn with the cat riding it. Okay, I'm done.
We done?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
You spent?
I'm spent.
All right. They also talked up Tom Clancy's The Division, which looks to be a interesting post-apocalyptic team or multiplayer online shooter thing, which apparently encourages you to grief your friends.
When he turned on his friends at the end of that trailer, I was completely caught off guard.
So were they.
Pretty damn dick move. But I think it was perfect for their trailer to emphasize you're never safe with the people who you think are your friends.
Tom Clancy's A Division. Grief your friends, kill your enemies, and your friends.
Yeah, that was why I think I tweeted it, that was going to be a complete shit show in real life.
Yeah. I mean, that game is going to end friendships.
Right, exactly. There's going to be real killings over that.
We're going to go back to the old StarCraft term of no backstab.
No backstab, yep. They also had a couple of other Tom Clancy games. Ghost Recon Wildlands looked pretty neat with the multiple ways of taking out a target on your mission. Rainbow Six Siege had these co-op terrorist hunts that really made me feel like it was a good guy version of Payday 2. At least that's the vibe I got from it, where they went in, saw the terrorists, saw where the bomb was, took them out methodically, and then defended the disarmor.
They had a very well-organized group doing that.
Yeah, we would not do nearly that well.
Oh.
I mean, our hearts are in the right place, but yeah.
They did that live. They played it.
Okay, and, we're doing it live.
We're doing it live!
Waiting for you to go there. But they very nearly all died. They barely passed that mission. So,
and supposedly that was the first time that they had actually won it in all of their practice rounds.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny too.
For Honor, multiplayer sword and siege combat with like English knights versus samurai versus Vikings. That looked kind of neat.
Oh. It looks like an interesting game. Maybe to watch. I don't know.
I'd want to try it.
I don't know how interested I could stay with it, because once you've been in a couple fights, I mean, I guess you could sit there and perfect it.
It depends on how much there is in the game to like vary it up. I mean, we saw a lot of man-to-man sword fighting, but I also saw, at least in the trailers, if not in the gameplay, there were actual siege engines. You had catapults and battering rams and shit like that. So, you know, if there's enough variety, I could see myself staying interested in that for at least a little while.
It was a very good trailer, though. I really enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah. So. I look forward to seeing more of that game. And finally, but before we get to Assassin's Creed, I just have to mention they had this thing for Just Dance 2016. And the interesting thing about it is that they're dispensing with the camera stuff. So if you have a smartphone, you can link it to your console.
What the fuck is that going to work?
You're going to use your accelerometer in your smartphone to
just sit there and just.
Yeah, you could. You could cheat it just like you could with almost any other motion control game. But I thought that was a neat option for those people who don't want to run out and buy a Kinect, especially now that, you know, Microsoft's no longer bundling Kinects in their cheaper versions.
They didn't actually show any game.
No.
They brought somebody out for a singing dance thing.
Yeah, and it was bad. Like it was the Walmart version of when Usher came out and performed for Microsoft 2 years ago. It was really bad.
So, I mean, they didn't really show anything. There wasn't even a trailer for the game, was there?
Nope.
They just had somebody come out and dance.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they didn't show anything of the game. They just said the name, bring somebody out to sing. That's it. So.
I mean, obviously, I have no interest unless I call it Just Jiggle. You know, I'm not not my thing. So I couldn't give a flying fuck about Just Dance.
They should call a game the Truffle Shuffle.
There was, I don't know if anyone saw, we actually went on a trip. Speaking of that, sorry, I'm going to digress. A couple weekends ago, we went to Astoria, Oregon, which is where Goonies was filmed. And it was the 30th anniversary weekend. of the movie.
That's
cool. And the local Starbucks were all doing the truffle shuffle shake as one of their frappuccinos. Yeah, it was good too, actually. Phil had one.
At first, when you said that, I thought you were saying the employees were doing the truffle shuffle.
One of them offered, but she was too thin. I told her, I says, no, we'd have to reverse roles here, darling.
Yeah, there's not enough of you.
Right.
And finally, for Ubisoft, there was Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which showed off a really, really nicely executed cinematic trailer, but no gameplay and no release window. If the game looks half as good as the trailer, I think they're going to have a massive improvement on their hands over Assassin's Creed Unity. But otherwise, it's difficult to get excited over a cinematic trailer.
They are offering a female playable class,
which is awesome. Playable
character.
Especially after last year when they said, oh, making female assassins is hard. I think they figured it out.
No, having female assassins makes players hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, that was good.
Moving right along.
My God. I just got the nerdy child. I just got the naughty child look.
Yep. Ooh. Well, do we want to make fun of stuff? Because we have Square Enix next.
Sure.
Oh, my God. That presentation was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, it kind of was. They showed off Just Cause 3, which looks like Michael Bay, the video game. Just the previous ones. It's coming out on the 1st of December this year. And let's see. They showed off a little bit more of Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is the next Lara Croft game. And we already have a release date for that. I believe it is coming
next year.
No. Rise of Tomb Raider is 10 November this year.
Oh, so wow. That right on Fallout.
Yep. That'll be right on top of Fallout.
I've never been a huge fan of Tomb Raider games. So
I loved the reboot. And I was massively
you're straight, Joe.
What?
It's because you're straight. Oh, sorry. Wow. It's because you're gay, Joe. You don't like Boob Raider because you just don't like boobs.
I should point out that she hasn't been a top-heavy Barbie doll in quite some time, though.
That's not the point. It has stigmas.
All right. So they had basically announced two things that have a hard release date, and everything else was just, hey, look at how many irons we have in the fire. They talked about a new Nier game. They talked about mobile Tomb Raider, mobile Kingdom Hearts. They teased a little bit of Kingdom Hearts 3, but had absolutely no release date, which infuriated many people because they announced Kingdom Hearts 3 at E3 2 years ago. So this is now the third straight E3. They have talked about Kingdom Hearts 3 and have almost nothing to show for it aside from footage.
You know, I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game, but they look kind of fun. I mean, I'm a little bit of a Disney dork, but I mean, I just grew up on that shit. So, you know, it always kind of tickled that little Disney fantasy thing going on. So it was interesting.
Yeah, they were really good games.
I played the first one and enjoyed it. Didn't play the second one.
I watched my brother play the first one, and I mean, obviously not all the way through, but I watched him play quite a bit, and it looked good. You know, it looked like an entertaining. It's like the only way you could take a Disney character and actually put it into a game where it wasn't made for a 3-year-old, and it seemed interesting. You know, it wasn't all blood and gore like a lot of the other games, but I mean, I thought it was very well done for the content that they worked with.
Yeah, I played through Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, Chain of Memories, and 365/2 days, or however the fuck you pronounce that. But yeah, I'm kind of a Kingdom Hearts nerd, and I like the games a lot. I'm really looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3. I just wish we knew when the hell it was coming. New Star Ocean game, Integrity and Faithlessness. The last one was pretty good. Star Ocean, Not Till the End of Time. The Last Hope. For the Xbox 360 and PS3 were really good. Integrity and Faithlessness will be coming out sometime in 2016 with the rest of everything else. Hitman. I knew I'd forgotten a date. Hitman, which is a sort of kind of open world reboot of the Hitman franchise, will be coming out for all current consoles and PC on the 8th of December this year. What did we think of the footage of that?
I may actually give that game a try. So, you know, I didn't play the first one. I'm not a big fan of fast paced games, which this really isn't anyways, but I thought it looked kind of cool actually. And I like the open world concept. I thought that was kind of neat. They had a lot of coverage for this game and a lot of in between talks and after shows and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they just kept showing the same footage over and over again, but I mean, they had the developer and everywhere on every talk and every channel, we'll call it Twitch and YouTube and everything. I don't know. I may, you know, wait a week to see what the initial reviews are on it, but you know, if it's halfway decent, I may pick it up as a Christmas present to myself. One thing is obvious though. Okay, the whole theme across E3, I'm going to need a new fucking computer.
Yeah.
Because my poor Alienware X51 with my 660.
Yeah, that's not going to hack it anymore.
I don't think it's going to do it. So this, waiting for Skylake to come out. And as soon as the Skylake stuff hits the shelves, I think I'm diving in.
All right.
Let's see. I got to figure out what the sweet spot is on video cards. But, you know, I don't think it was part of our coverage of E3. Were we going to talk about the AMD stuff?
Oh, the PC gaming show? Yeah, we're going to do that after we do the platform holder stuff.
And I'll hold my comments about that till then.
All right. Last thing from the Square Enix presser was Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, the next game in the Deus Ex series. This looks really good. We have no release date. They're simply committing to the first half of 2016. Have you guys played a Deus Ex game at all?
No.
I played the last one, the subtitle of which I cannot remember.
You know, I didn't realize until you told me the other day that they were actually initially for PC. I didn't really realize that. I'm not even sure I fully understand what the gameplay style is.
Kind of like a cross between Half-Life and Metal Gear Solid. You have your choice of going in guns blazing or going for stealth-based gameplay. So it's like shooter, stealth game, role-playing game, all kind of smooshed together. The original came out in 2000, so it's been around for a dog's age.
There's dialogue options too, but I don't think your choices really change the end result.
No, they do. Not as much as they do in, say, a BioWare game, but they do.
Right.
It's hard to beat the way BioWare does their storytelling. I mean, they are the ones to beat when it comes to that sort of gameplay style.
Right.
And they say with their new game coming out, they looked at everybody complaining that they felt like their choices still didn't make much of a difference. So they're trying to work on that.
Well, it's hard to make it too different, right? I mean, otherwise you're making 40 games.
Right.
Right.
You know, so they have to figure out how to fit, you know, to do it mostly with dialogue, I would think, you know, and a few other, you know, set dressing type stuff where it's not too much work.
This was easier in the 16 and 32-bit days back when everything was sprite-based because having a game with 30 different endings was a lot less inefficient in terms of data on your disk. You know,
it was all relevant at the time, though, right? Because we had less disk. We had smaller CPUs. We had lower video cards. So I think at the same time, you know, back then it was probably the same amount of work, the same challenge. It's just, you know, we've been evolving.
Well, I think it's also a matter of how do you ship that much data? I mean, we were talking long ago about Star Citizen planning to be a 100 gigabyte download. You know, if you want your 30 endings to your role playing game, along with, you know, your 4K textures and your ridiculous polygon counts and what have you, and your orchestral music and your professionally recorded audio voiceovers, you're going to be looking at close to 100 gig. And when most games are usually weighing in between 10 and 20 right now, that's a big step up. And how do you push that data to someone who doesn't have totes 250 down?
Right. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't mind the extra 4 minutes personally.
Yeah. For most people, it's not just an extra 4 minutes. It might be an extra day or two.
Well, the nice thing is, you know, for us at least, that they just hung the fiber down the poles behind the house. So we're going to actually get our CenturyLink gig fiber, hopefully, in the next few months.
Sweet. So are you going to turn your house into an ISP? Do I dial up to you to get my connection? Or, I mean, what are we going to do?
Might be better than your current charter that you're getting maybe 12 megs on.
It probably will be. I can get 20 on a good day. So let's talk about the platform holders. We're going to start with Microsoft.
Okay, I need to wait. I got to go get a towel.
Todd has left his chair and come back with a towel. Okay. You good?
Got it. Yeah, I'm good.
Right. They start off with Halo 5, which looks really, really good. Keyboard.
Sorry, Halo 5, yeah.
The biggest surprise, well, there were two really big surprises. We knew there was going to be a multiplayer campaign because there have been multiplayer campaigns ever since Halo 3. But the neatest part is that they're bringing back Nathan Fillion. He was previously in Halo 3 ODST as Sergeant Buck, and he's now become a Spartan, and he's part of Commander Locke's team in Halo 5. So always good to see Captain Mal from Firefly representing in video games. He's always been in Halo. He's always been a big fan of Bungie. They actually have him voice over an NPC in Destiny as well. So I'm a Nathan Fillion fan.
Did you actually hear about his new project?
No. What is it?
He's making like a mini series or something like that, like him and his brother or something. And it's about making Firefly. I mean, they had a different term for it. Space pirate.
Oh, movie. Cool.
But it's kind of like the funny parts of all the behind the scenes shit and all this kind of stuff. And they were kickstarting it, and I'm pretty sure it was funded like 10 times. And, you know, I think I'll try to dig up some notes, and we'll try to throw that in the show notes.
And the other big thing from Halo 5 was that they were talking about Warzone. Now, this is a multiplayer mode of the game that's 24-man PvPvE. That's player versus environment. You're going to have other players in there who are shooting at you that you want to shoot at. And in addition, there are AI like horde mode waves that come out and attack every fucking buddy. And you guys have to find some way to survive and win in that crazy, crazy environment.
Kind of sounds first person MOBA-ish.
I suppose. I mean, if there are objectives, I can definitely see how that would be a MOBA sort of thing. But if it's simple, like survive the waves while also team deathmatch against the other players, that's a little bit different. But I can see how I would play the fuck out of that if I had a Xbox One. And speaking about if I had an Xbox One, that became a hell of a lot more likely this week when they announced that they were implementing backwards compatibility with your Xbox 360 library. Not only that, but they're doing it in the most intelligent way I have heard a console holder yet do. They're going to have you insert your Xbox 360 game into the drive. It will authenticate the disc, and then it will pull down a digital copy of that game, basically an Xbox One binary version of that game, down to your console, and you never need to put the disc into your drive again. That is hot.
Yeah, that... Oh man, they knocked it out of the park. You know, that was probably the best thing they could have announced. I bet you 360 game value just went right through the roof.
I am so glad I did not get rid of my library.
Yeah, I got rid of mine. Not that I had a ton of them, but I had some.
You had a bit.
Yeah.
I had some.
I mean, I think that they announced a lot of stuff for the Xbox One, and all of it was great stuff. Do we want to cover that now, or... You have a different segment for that.
We can talk about it now since it is part of Microsoft. Joe, did you have any comment about the backwards compatibility stuff?
Well, I was backwards compatibility. I still have some of my old Xbox games, but I was mostly going to say, are we going to be talking about the integration with Windows 10 later?
Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about that. So they were talking about how you could go ahead and stream games back and forth between one platform and the other. So you could sit there with a controller at your computer and play your Xbox games on your Windows PC, or vice versa. You could go ahead and stream your Windows 10 games to your Xbox and play, say, Civ 5 on your computer. So that sounds really awesome. Or, I'm sorry, Civ 5 on your television. There was right. I accidentally a word. Yeah.
Now, so what I was, sorry, go on.
Well, what I was going to say about that was, it definitely opens their market for getting PC gamers switching to or PC gamers also owning a console. It definitely kind of wins the PC crowd over a little bit more that they can integrate them with each other. Whereas before it was just, you know, you had Xbox or PlayStation. Now you have Xbox that will work with my computer or PlayStation. So I think they've kind of won over a bit of the PC crowd with their integration options that are going to be there.
Well, I think is what Microsoft has done, and it's going to be an interesting ride, is they have significantly blurred the line between console and PC games. Now, with the unified DirectX and Xbox Live APIs, developers are just writing games to the same set, regardless if it's on a PC or it's on a console. So the only real difference is going to be what play style do people want, you know, or do developers want? Do they intend this to be played on a 65-inch TV in your living room with a controller on the couch with friends? Or is this more of a single-player experience where it would work just as well sitting by yourself in front of your computer? Now, speaking of playing games and on your computer and console and all this kind of stuff, they also made some other significant announcements. One of which was the new controller, which, other than it being $150, looks fucking badass. You know, I'm not a huge controller fan.
Atrophied thumbs.
Yeah, I don't know why. The new controller definitely looks interesting. Replaceable sticks and the little thumb cup thing and all that kind of stuff. It looks kind of cool. I would
not to cut you off now, but I really think
you are cutting me off.
I kind of am, but this is important. Your thumb problem means you just need to practice.
Maybe.
If you have atrophied thumbs, you just need to work them out.
Not arguing that point at all. So, you know, the whole idea, though, of being able to be sitting at my computer and with a couple of clicks, my Xbox upstairs would fire up and I could play one of my Xbox games. It's pretty badass. You know, yeah. If I don't have to go up and sit in front of my TV that has a ton of glare in the middle of the day because my first floor is so bright up there, you know, that definitely has some interest to me. The other thing they announced is that if you are playing an Xbox game and streaming it to your PC, they're going to support the Oculus Rift that way, which I thought was also really interesting. So they kind of found a way to you know, integrate the Rift into all of that.
The virtual theater stuff?
Yeah, the virtual theater stuff, which is kind of neat. And then, while we're still talking about input and everything, I mean, let's talk about that Minecraft HoloLens demo, which...
That was mind-blowing.
That was amazing. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. That was kind of game-changing as far as how we think about, you know, those types of you know, voxel worlds.
Like, that completely changed my mind about what's possible. You know, I wasn't thinking that it was possible to view a game like that. I mean, you've seen it in movies and stuff, this hologram that you can see on a table, but to actually see it being done, I mean, he's the only one who could really see it, but it's still there.
So anyone who hasn't actually seen the demo, I really recommend you go watch that.
We'll try and dig it up and put it in the show notes.
They put a special lens on the Red One video camera that was like it was looking through an Oculus. And the guy literally said, build world. And on this table, it built a 3D structure that only he could see. That he could pan around with his hands and do things and talk, and it would listen and do stuff. I was a little floored. I mean, it was funny watching the YouTube or Twitch chat, whichever we were watching at the time. And everyone's like, oh, fuck Minecraft. And all of a sudden they showed that and everyone's like, whoa, mind blown.
Like the top of the table turned to sand. It all collapsed down. A world got built up in it. And you could even see the other player in the game running around as you're just kind of looking around. Down inside it,
if Minecraft was playable or had that ability with mod support and all that kind of stuff, it would be fucking mind-blowing. And the other thing they did, just that wasn't the only part of it, is they just had a wall that had like a virtual display on it, and he was playing regular 2D he was looking at a monitor on the wall that wasn't actually there. I mean, it was to the point where I didn't realize it wasn't there in the demo. And I actually asked in our Skype chat while we were live tweeting, And, Dwayne said, no, that's virtual. It's like, oh, damn. So that was Microsoft. They stole the show as far as hardware went, in my opinion.
I'm just picturing you're not near a TV. You're wearing the HoloLens and you just see this wall. It's kind of dark. It would be a good spot for a TV. So just go display. And then your TV shows up on the wall.
Right.
Now they just start building that shit into a regular pair of glasses so that I don't have to wear around that funky headgear shit. And, be honest with you, with my bad eyes, I probably can't see any of that anyways, but I'm excited that the tech has a chance.
Bad eyes, bad thumbs. We need to take you in for a tune-up, sir.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
It wouldn't be good for parties or group events. You know, if somebody's like, oh man, did you see that? No. Only you can see that.
As a server admin for Minecraft, that tool would be amazing.
Right.
To be able to dig into, see where they are, dig into their stuff without having to run around and find everything. Just be able to sit there and move around and spin the world and look at everything in a third person view.
If they could integrate it so that when you're looking at somebody's tower, if you swiped your hand across, you could knock down their tower. Yes. That would be
just throw a bowling ball at the table and everything's destroyed.
Yeah.
Xbox is starting their own early access program, and they're debuting right now with The Long Dark and Elite Dangerous on Xbox One. So this will be the first time we're seeing early access come to consoles. How do we feel about that?
I think that's the new model, right? It's here, let me get you to pay all this money for a half-finished game while we develop it. So give us your money early. I mean, as long as you know what you're getting into, I'm not necessarily against that model or that concept. They did announce Elite Dangerous, right?
Right.
As part of it. But that's not really early access anymore, so maybe that doesn't count.
Well, if it's a console port, it might be early access in the sense that the port's not done.
And anyone, just in case you happen to be an Elite Dangerous player, if you own Elite Dangerous for the PC, you get $5 off the version for the console, which I guess is better than nothing.
And finally, they announced that they were re-releasing the first Gears of War game as an HD remake for Xbox One this August 25th for the 10th anniversary. Todd, you and I played through the first Gears of War game together on Xbox 360 a long ass time ago. And I was happy to hear later on at the PC gaming show that this would be coming for PC as well. Are you up for nagging a PC copy and doing this over again?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the first one was a pretty fun game. You just pretty much run around shooting shit. So
and don't forget the chainsaw. Don't forget the chainsaw.
I'm not as big into the chainsaw. I don't like getting that close to stuff, but it just gets kind of frenetic when you do that. I mean, Doom had a chainsaw too. I wasn't that interested in that.
So the fair kills enough. Were pretty spectacular in Doom with the chainsaw.
Was that the one where they're cutting him in half and all that kind of stuff? Yeah.
So Sony. We were all wondering if Sony could go punch for punch with Microsoft. I'm going to go ahead and say that they had a strong showing, but they did not go punch for punch with Microsoft. They started off with showing off The Last Guardian, which has been a long-awaited game. The Last Guardian was shown off at E3 ages ago, when they announced the PlayStation 3. That's how long this game has been in development. It was becoming the Duke Nukem Forever of PlayStation, and they're finally committing to a 2016 release. This is the successor to the amazing puzzle games Eco and Shadow of the Colossus. And I know you guys couldn't give three shits, but I was very excited to see this game back again.
Hey, I said I was interested in it. I like puzzle games. It looked interesting for a puzzle game.
All right. So it was just Todd who was the curmudgeon.
Yep.
But that's his job description.
This was E3 of string. That is my opinion of E3 this year. Everything had fucking yarn or string or some other bullshit. It was getting a little old. I mean, string Yoshi looked pretty cool. And yes, I would like a little string Yoshi figurine thingy. But, with three different studios announced string concepted games.
I only had two in my notes. I've got the Yoshi's Woolly World from Nintendo, which we'll get to later, and Unravel from EA.
Maybe
that was with the guy with the little red yarny guy.
Yeah, I thought I saw a third one, but I could have just been thinking of Yoshi twice.
You could have been thinking of Little Big Planet because I kept talking about it. No,
I was thinking of two different demos, but I think one of those two was shown in two different pressers, so I'm just not sure. Oh. I'm getting them confused, but it just seems like everything was string. I'm sick of string. I don't like string. It all raveled up, and anyways. I thought the Sony stuff. Okay, so there was a kind of a vibe amongst a lot of the other pressers. It was all about the players and making, you know, bringing the community closer and listening to the community and doing what the community wants and all this kind of stuff. And I don't think Sony mentioned those words in their whole presentation. You know, first of all, I think Reggie's kind of a big douchebag. You know,
Reggie's from Nintendo.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Reggie is a douchebag. But anyways, it just didn't feel like Sony. Maybe it's just their culture. They just, you know, you do what they tell you to do kind of thing. I'm not sure. But
it helps that they're out in front. Like they are winning this console generation by a fair margin right now. They're actually being challenged. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, first of all, Sony needs to learn that if you don't speak good English, hire an actor like Ubisoft.
I think you're thinking about Square Enix.
They all seem bad. Like everything we watched yesterday was terrible. Was that yesterday?
No. Yesterday was Square Enix. Sony was the day before. Sony was Tuesday.
Who did the announcements for Monday. Sony?
It was a whole bunch of people, actually. It was a long parade of people.
Mm, okay. Maybe I'm thinking of Square Enix.
They also showed off... They showed off Horizon, which looked interesting. That was that game with the primitive humans versus the mechanical animals.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting until they killed the mechanical dog. That was kind of sad. But then they put him in the big robot, so I guess it got better. But
That you are thinking of, what was it? That was something from the Microsoft presser called ReCore.
Oh, yeah, that was called ReCore.
Right.
That looked kind of interesting. I mean, yeah, I don't know that this game I'd play, but it looked interesting nonetheless.
They showed off Street Fighter V, which isn't up our alley, but looked really good. They talked about the next title from Media Molecule. These are the guys behind Tearaway and Little Big Planet, called Dreams. And I remember you, Todd, you were saying you don't know what the fuck you're looking at, but it looked interesting. Don't know what it was, but it looked interesting. Destiny's next expansion, The Taken King, will be coming on the September 15th with exclusive content for PlayStation. They showed a little bit of No Man's Sky. They got Shenmue 3 kickstarted within 9 hours. They raised $2 million in 9 hours. And then only after they, you know, were fully funded, did we find out that Sony was going to fund the thing anyway.
Oh, those fuckers.
Yeah. They showed off Uncharted 4, which after a couple of hiccups on the demo at the first, it looked really, really good.
Yeah, I think that was my bucket we're doing it live tweet.
Yeah. And the big thing from the Sony presser was Square Enix showed off that they were finally going to make a remake, an HD remake of Final Fantasy VII, which got so many people to wet their pants. It's not even funny.
I still have not played 7, so I don't really know
what you're missing.
Right. I don't know what I'm like. I don't know the story of it. I know of Cloud. But that's about it.
I'm probably going to get myself lynched on the internet for saying this, but 7 was a good game, but it's not nearly as good as everybody's making it out to be.
8 was the best one.
8 was good. 8 was good. 8 was not better than 7, but it was good. I think
10 was the only one I've played other than, like, you know, the first ones that were all, you know, right, in the early consoles.
Final Fantasy VII had the benefit of being the first Japanese RPG that a sizable portion of today's console players actually played. You know, everything else was sprite-based, and at a time when everything was becoming 3D, nobody was really interested in playing sprite-based games if you could avoid it. And with Final Fantasy VII being the first 3D Final Fantasy that showed off the power of the PlayStation 1 in a really convincing way, it became the entry drug to RPGs for an entire generation of gamers. And because it was their first, that's why they still get all hot and bothered about it.
It could be that I think fondly of 8 because it was the first one that I played.
Right.
So
I think that the setting looked interesting. I think the graphics look great.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, it's kind of on my radar, but if it's on only on PlayStation, I probably won't play it.
Well, it'll be on PlayStation 4 first, but it'll be coming to other things as well. We'll see what happens. Last up from the platform holders, we have Nintendo. They actually made a lot of announcements now that I'm looking over my notes. They announced Star Fox Zero for the Wii U, which might actually sell me on a Wii U. Because I'm a sucker for flying games, as we know. They have this interesting crossover with Skylanders and Amiibo now. They're going to have exclusive content for the Wii U version of Skylanders Superchargers, where they will have figurines that are both Skylanders and Amiibo and are usable across multiple games, which is a welcome change from the ever fractioned or factionalized world of gameplay figurines.
Yeah, even in string, I'd like to point out, that was the third one I was thinking of. Is you can take your figurines and it'll put them into Yoshi's string world or whatever it's called.
Right.
And it'll make them out of string.
That is kind of
like,
cool.
I know there was a third announcement.
So it's the same game, just they're doing amiibo stuff with it.
Yeah.
You can stringify all your amiibos.
Right.
Yeah, like they had a stringified Mario and, you know, it was interesting.
In all, they announced 7 Wii U games and 7 3DS games, a new Fire Emblem games coming out for 3DS in 2016. The Super Mario Maker that we saw for the final round of the Nintendo World Championship will be hitting this year on the 11th of September. They announced a couple of Animal Crossing games, Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, which is like a spiritual successor to both Paper Mario and the Mario and Luigi RPG series. Yoshi's Woolly World, as we've recounted before. And a couple other titles, we'll go ahead and list them all in the show notes, because at this point, I want to go and start talking about the PC gaming show.
Well, they did also mention, they did talk about the Wii Nexus, which they said they'll be announcing more on at next E3.
Right. So we'll have something to look forward to for next year, but no real details on that yet. So about that PC gaming show.
Yes.
PC gaming, the talk show.
Yeah, that format kind of sucked.
I like hearing them talking about their games and showing footage at the same time. Like when they're explaining the game and you're getting to see it at the same time, it holds your interest a lot better than them explaining the game while they're just sitting on the couch and having a chat.
Right. I mean, there was really, I mean, I get that Day 9 is an internet personality and he's actually fairly decent at it, but a lot of these developers don't have that kind of charisma. So if they're just sitting there on a couch talking, you know, Tonight Show style without anything else to watch, it's difficult, because as passionate as some of these developers are about their games, and it really does show, some of them are just not great public speakers, and the video game can hold you in a way that them talking about it simply can't.
Kind of like who was the guy who announced the new Roller Coaster Tycoon-esque, the World Coaster game?
Oh yeah, the director of Frontier.
Yeah. He was very, very nervous on stage. Oh, he actually had to stop once. So, you know, they rolled his footage. He introduced it. They, you know, showed it off nicely. And then he was off the stage. Which, by the way, I am interested because I really like the Roller Coaster Tycoon games. So I can go back to shooting people off the tracks or drowning them as soon as they get off of the tracks.
Good times.
So the problem that I couldn't quite get myself away from while watching the PC gaming show last night was that I everybody sponsored this thing, and the headline sponsor was was AMD, and you could tell that they were trying, or at least most of the cast and guests were trying really hard not to make it seem like an AMD advertisement, and they kind of failed. It was a bunch of game previews interspersed with ads for AMD. And it was, I mean, granted, all of E3 is one gigantic festival of advertising, but oh, yeah, everybody else's presser, even Square Enix and its terrible, terrible shittiness, did a better job of concealing the fact that it was a bald-faced ad than the PC gaming show did.
Well, they brought him up multiple times.
Twice.
Yeah. Twice or three times. I can't remember which.
I think it was three.
I thought it was twice. The first time they brought him the suitcase, and the second time the chick came out and talked about
You did
cards.
Leave before the end of the show, Todd, so you may not have seen the third
one. That's true. I did. Yeah. So if someone came out after the chick came out with the card, new cards, then yeah.
So they did announce, or they did show off some interesting stuff though last night. They had the new Eternal Conflict content preview for Heroes of the Storm. They showed off a little bit of No Man's Sky on PC, which was a wonderful announcement. I probably won't be getting it for PS4 now that I know that it's coming out for PC. I'll just get it on PC. What else did they have? What was notable from last night, guys? Gigantic? That looked beautiful.
Yeah, that's the first time we talked about the Gigantic stuff. That Gigantic MOBA thing that Gigantic's doing is getting great reviews out of E3. So, and, you know, I have a friend who's a shill for them, and, you know, he says great things about it too. So, but he's a shill, so it's hard to say. You know, it looks interesting. I'm not sure I really am into the Gigantic art style. Some people are, and some people aren't. I mean, they did, you know, AMD, as much as, you know, it was obviously they were paying for everything. They did show off some nice tech. That weird computer thing that they showed off was pretty crazy. That Wicked video card that was only like 6 inches long looked really badass. I mean,
the R9 Nano?
They showed off some great tech, but I just haven't had good luck with AMD stuff. I just can't bring myself to give them my money. The last time I tried was, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that. And it was a huge disaster. And I ended up returning the card and buying an NVIDIA. And that was, you know, kind of sad. But, hey, they were great for coin mining, for cryptocurrency. That was about it, though.
I think the thing is that NVIDIA just has a lot better support. And they might just be quicker at fixing errors that come up with new games that come out than AMD. And maybe they work a little bit closer with the game creators to make sure that their hardware will work with the games that are coming out.
Yeah, I think we've proven that's the case, right? A lot of debacles recently.
Guild Wars 2 had a little bit of screen time last night, and that looked pretty interesting. They had guild halls and sieges.
Actually sounds more like Guild Wars now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which is interesting.
It was like EverQuest that didn't have barely any quests.
Now, eventually, if we actually had stuck with it, we could have done something like that with WildStar as well, where you've got the battle base that you could build up and attack others and have that PvP sort of thing going on. But we just didn't stick with it long enough to actually get there.
Well, it's free to play now, so.
Yeah. They showed off EVE. Well, it won't be free to play until the fall, but after that, then yes, we could try it again. EVE Valkyrie got showed off at least twice this E3 and at the PC gaming show in particular. Sadly, no new footage, but this is the one thing that's got me the most excited about VR, period.
You know, I'm interested in Valkyrie. I was excited at first. And they showed it during the Microsoft presser, I believe. That was one of the things I was excited about. But then I found out it has nothing to do with the EVE universe. And that's a little disappointing. I mean, EVE is exciting because everything affects everything, right? And kind of like the butterfly effect sometimes.
Right.
And they even tried to do that in Dust. And, you know, I have no idea how successful that actually was. Probably not great.
It's still going, but they haven't shut it down yet.
And I was kind of hoping this was going to be the same sort of way. Because it would be really cool to be flying around in the middle of some of these fleet battles. I mean, I understand that that's a ton of computational data they'd have to deal with, but that's not my problem, really. You know, so it was a little sad to see that they don't affect each other.
Right. Sadly, there is no longer any way to see what the popular... Oh, never mind. There it is. Let's see how many people are in Dust 514 these days.
Yeah, and Cloud Imperium got up there, and you know they talked a little bit, but really nothing new out of them. Just same old shit, spending our millions and millions of dollars doing who knows what, probably making some other game that we don't even know about.
Oh, but, wow. There are only about 2,500 people daily playing Dust 514 now.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good for them. Let's see. They showed off Deus Ex. They showed off more AMD hardware. You were talking about Chris Roberts and Star Citizen. Let's see. Rising Storm 2 from... Who's making this game? Oh, really?
People.
Is it Bohemia?
Yeah, it was the one where what we had confused at first. I think it was ended up being Bohemia.
No. Bohemia is the guys behind Arma. These are the guys behind Killing Floor. The, what is this place called? Tripwire. Tripwire is making Killing Floor 2 and Rising Storm 2, which is taking place in Vietnam. And that was pretty much the entire show. We went over everything that was relevant to E3. So as a wrap, I think I already know what you guys are going to say, but who won? Who walks away as champion of E3 2015?
Well, it's difficult, right? So I think as far as announcements, I'm the most excited about the stuff Microsoft did. But as far as quality of presentation, Ubisoft won it.
All right. Joe?
I completely agree. I think Microsoft had the best stuff that they came out with or that they announced, but I really enjoyed the Ubisoft presentation because it was very entertaining and they kept me interested in what they were talking about.
All right. I wrote a little bit for MacNN today about who I thought won E3, and I know you guys will probably disagree with me. In fact, I know you disagree with me, but I went ahead and said that the Nintendo World Championship won E3. You know, out of everything that we watched this weekend, that was the one that stuck with me the longest. That was the one I had the most fun watching. You know, I got excited about stuff. I totally agree that of all the sales pitches, Ubisoft did the best job and Microsoft had the most compelling stuff. But I am looking forward to the next Nintendo World Championship pretty much more than I'm looking forward to any announced release from the press conferences.
I don't think I really consider that part of E3, but I do agree that that was fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, technically, nothing but what we saw yesterday was part of E3 because it all happened before E3 even opened. But anyway, so that was E3 for 2015. I'm looking forward to it again next year. Did you guys have fun doing this? It was a lot of work doing the live tweeting and watching all the streams and finding time to do this. But I had a hell of a time. Are we up for doing this again next year?
Yeah,
sure. And there's a lot of stuff between now and then, you know, that we got to cover. So we'll be here.
Cool.
Maybe we can even do some kind of, daily recording or something next year for E3, or maybe even live stream us talking about it or something.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to try to put together a video cast out of PAX Prime this year. So we'll see if there's any exciting announcements coming out of that. And Joe and I will be there live. We're both working as enforcers. So we'll see if we can scrape up some time to go do that.
Sounds great. This is a good time to remind everyone that Hammercast is brought to you by the Hammer Gaming Community. We're an adults-only group of gamers from across North America and Europe that play all sorts of games together. We've been around since 2007. We originated as an MMO guild, expanding into a full community with forums, a Minecraft server, and the podcast you're listening to or watching right now. You can check us out at hammergaming.com. So that'll be it for this week. Thank you, guys, and thanks everyone for tuning in. hammergaming.com/hammercast/18 is where you can find show notes for this episode. We're Hammer Gaming on Twitter. That's all one word. Follow us and you can get updates on when new episodes are available, as well as news from the Hammer Gaming community. If you like the show, leave us a review. It really does help us out. Todd, where can people find you online?
I can be found at Dregger, DREGG0R on Twitter.
All right. And Joe?
They can find me at DAZIKLP on Twitter, DazikLP.
And I am also on Twitter at VALTHONIS. That's Valthonis. Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Thumbs up and fuck off.